Well, good morning. I was kind of wondering if anybody was alive out there earlier. But then a few of you did jump up and respond to Gideon's message there. I believe it is an awesome thing that the Gideons do, providing copies of God's Word, the New Testament in particular, to so many people. The military personnel, as all three of my boys have received copies, and I want to encourage you to help the Gideons in whatever way you can. Paul will be in the back, standing with the after the service, standing with his open Bible, and just drop an offering right in there. If perchance you aren't able to do that today, if at any time you write on one of those envelopes that we have for offering, just write Gideons on it, that would be set aside and sent to the Gideons. Plus, the Gideons themselves have offering envelopes. And if you ask Paul, I'm sure he'd be more than happy to give you one and be able to help you out there. So I want to encourage you to participate in that ministry, because, you know, we've got people like Brett out there emptying the Bibles out of all the hotel rooms, and they need to be restocked. But that's what they're there for, is for people to take, because they want the Word of God to be in somebody's hand and for them to read it so they can have it in their heart and their mind. And hopefully, it'll lead them closer to God. This is the fourth anniversary of the terrible attack of 9/11 in New York and the Pentagon, and of the one plane that was going towards D.C. but was forced down by the passengers. And I just want to take a moment to pray for those who are involved, who were involved with that, those who lost loved ones, those who helped in the recovery effort, those who lost their lives in the attempt to save others. And also, we want to remember those who are currently in harm's way. There are many people who are down in Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi dealing with the aftermath of Katrina. And they too need our prayers, and this is an ongoing disaster. This is something which we just can't, you know, let go. We need to be praying for these people and what's going on there. Notice today I'm wearing my chaplain's shirt, and if you didn't know what it was, that's what it is. This is my police chaplain's shirt, and this is what I'm supposed to wear when I get called out. And believe it or not, I was actually up and at the police station at 6 this morning to go have prayer with the officers before they started their day. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come in your very presence. And we thank you, Lord, that you have created us in your image. And as such, we find that there are people who are willing to sacrifice themselves for others. Lord, as you sacrificed yourself on our behalf by sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross, we see that sacrificial aspect in so many people. Those who sacrifice themselves for the good of others. Lord, we want to lift up to you now those who gave their lives on December 11th, 4 years ago. And since that time, in this terrible tragedy of terror, Lord, we ask for your intervention, that you would bring peace and comfort to those who lost loved ones through one means or another. Lord, we pray that these people's lives would not have been given in vain, but that their sacrifice would be recognized and honored, and it would inspire others and us as a nation to live lives that conform more to your image and your plan and desire for our lives. Father, we pray for those who are currently in harm's way, seeking to, some are in trouble, in difficult straits, have had their homes and lives destroyed, and others have gone to attempt to render aid and assistance. Father, we pray you would keep these people safe, that you would give them the strength to carry on and to complete this terrible task that's in front of them, this apparently insurmountable task if one was to look at the entirety of it. And Father, give them hope, give them encouragement for the day, and strength to carry on. Now, Lord, we just thank you that you've shown us how to be sacrificial, how to give of ourselves, and we've had so many people in this country who have done the same on our behalf. Lord, help us to honor them, but also to honor and glorify you, for you are the one who gives all good gifts. And these lives given are indeed the best gifts. Help us to appreciate them. In Jesus' name, amen. We have Missions Conference, October 1st and 2nd. That's a Saturday and Sunday. That's just a couple of weeks away. And for the next three Sundays, including this one, I'm going to be preaching on a missions theme. Following our missions conference, I'm going to be looking at possibly starting preaching in Romans. If anybody else has some other book or something that strikes their fancy, if Romans somehow doesn't do it, you're certainly welcome to say something to me. Some new batteries. I think that's what that was, wasn't it? Okay. Well, that one's off now. Thought we were doing a good thing. We've got some rechargeable batteries. They don't like our cycle processor. Anyways, we're going to be looking to the book of Romans after we're done with these next 4 weeks for the focus on missions. But this week we're going to be looking at the first part of Jonah and asking the question, are you too a reluctant missionary? So let's turn to the book of Jonah and look at verses 1 through 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarsus. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarsus to flee from the Lord. Well, this word came to Jonah from the Lord to go to Nineveh. But Jonah ran away. He sought to flee from the Lord and what the Lord would have him to do. Anybody here ever attempt to flee from the Lord? Okay, I see one or two hands maybe. Lord calls us to do something and we say, nope, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I think is best, God. Ever have that argument? Book of Job is full of that one. Basically, God responds in Job by saying, who are you to seek to correct me? The answer is, we're nobody. And we have no place to do that. But yet, it seems to be our favorite pastime. Other than picking on each other, is to decide that what God has in store for us is somehow wrong. God must have been wrong. He couldn't possibly mean that. Jonah was sure about it. Because he ran away. He said, that's wrong. That's not. I don't want to do that. Why? Because the Ninevites were known for being a terrible, terrible people. We're not talking about people who didn't brush their teeth here. We're talking about people who were cruel. They would go out and capture other people and enslave them. And in their chain gangs of slaves, they would hook the slaves together with hooks, fish hooks. That's how they chained their people together. They were cruel. They subjugated other people. They were mean to them. And they did not worship God in heaven. They worshiped everything else. But the Ninevites were recognized by everyone at that time to be the terrible people. Every day and age, we can look to somebody and say, well, this group of people represents this attitude or this thing. And we have those stereotypes. And the stereotypical evil of evil then was Nineveh. And God had told Jonah to go there. And Jonah didn't want to go. Because Jonah knew better than God. In chapter 4, after Jonah had relented and gone and done what it is God had directed him to do, which is bring the good news to the Ninevites, tell them that the good news was, in this case, was either repent or be destroyed, but that there was a possibility of repentance. And the Ninevites heard and were moved and repented. And after this occurred, was Jonah happy that the Ninevites, these terrible people, had been changed? No. His response was, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarsus. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. I've been part of bringing blessing onto these terrible people, and it's all your fault, God. Well, God holds Jonah's feet to the fire and tells them, you know, these are my people too. I love them. And who are you to be saying what is right and what is wrong? That's my job. That's God speaking, not me. Just God is the one who decides right and wrong, not us. So many times in our lives, God calls upon us to do something. And we don't. Sometimes God chases after us. Jonah, God chased after him with a storm and then a giant fish. Me, he used a Massey Ferguson tractor. Remember, I wasn't behaving God's call. So, I ended up having the specifics of the call at that time was I was supposed to leave my job and to go to school to become a pastor. And I said I really didn't want to do that. April 25th, 1991, I had a Massey Ferguson tractor pulling a big farm disc, make a left-hand turn in front of me without signaling as I was attempting to pass him. Shattered my leg. I was out of work for a year. I went to school. Now I'm a pastor. And it's all that tractor's fault. No, it's because I wasn't listening to God. And sometimes God chases after us and does that. And beats upon us. And we say, God, why are you being so mean to me? I knew what was going on at that time. I at least was cognizant of what was happening. I knew I was in rebellion. I was admitting it to myself. Sometimes there have been times in my life when I didn't admit I was in rebellion. But I admitted it. And God used it to open my eyes. Jonah here was very open in his rebellion. He, in fact, had even told the sailors that he was running away from God. Well, how stupid can you get? You can't run away from God. He tried. Didn't work. I tried. Didn't work. Don't try it. Yeah, I know. You already have. Some of you have had experiences somewhat similar to mine where maybe your life is totally destroyed, apparently, because of that. Things aren't going the way you want it to go. Things aren't going the way you want it to go. That's not supposed to be our yardstick. You see, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. The word of the Lord has come to each and every one of us. It's right here. It's that wonderful book which the Gideons are handing out. How many thousands every day? 150? It's there. That, the word of the Lord has come to us. Sometimes it comes to us in particular with a more specific message. You are to go here and do this, thus and such. And we need to pay attention and do those things. But God has told us this is what you are to do. He's also told us that if we love Him, we will obey Him. John 14:15. That if we love Him, we will obey what He commands us to do. He has commanded us to seek His will, to follow His ways, not to try to do our thing, to try to treat Him like a genie where we say, do what I want, God. Pray real hard, pray, oh, okay, now God, you have to do what I want. I'm going to live this way for you. Now I got to do. Now you have to do what I want, God. That's not the way it works. It's not an exchange program where God says, well, you know, if you do this for me, I'll do that for you. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He owns us, free and clear. He has the right to use us any way He should so choose. To our apparent betterment or detriment. It's not our right to question Him on that topic. Are you a reluctant missionary? Has the Lord told you to talk to that person in the checkout line? The neighbor? The person in the cubicle across from yours at work. Person in the park. Your brother or sister, your cousin. Yeah, He has. Sometimes He's given you a nudge in particular. Now the question is, have you been faithful in doing what it is He's told you to do? Sharing the love of Jesus with them. Otherwise, if you haven't been faithful in doing that, you're behaving just like Jonah. And we think Jonah is ridiculous. Running away from God? That doesn't work. A lot of people think of Jonah as somebody who is a bringer of, I don't want to say bad luck, but let's call it misfortune. And again, what is a Jonah? Somebody running away from God. God has said, do this, and they're saying, no, I don't want to. I don't want to. Maybe it's because you look at that person and you say, I don't like them, like Jonah did. Or maybe it's because you say, I can't. Well, God says you're not supposed to do it in yourself. You're supposed to do it in His strength. Jonah didn't save the people of Nineveh. God did. God's the one who softened their hearts, prepared them to hear the word. He can't take credit. He say, oh, I should die because of this. He didn't do anything other than be obedient tool. Any of you get excited when your tools obey? That's what they're supposed to do. Tools that don't work right, we usually throw away or we send back to the shop to get fixed and they get hammered on. Maybe that's what some of it happened to some of us. We're not listening to God. Now, I'm not telling you that every time you have something bad happen in your life, it's God hammering on you because you've been the reluctant missionary, that you're not doing what it is that He's told you to do with your life. But I am telling you that if you've got that kind of stuff happening in your life, let me ask you this question. Are you behaving like Jonah? Are you running away from God? Are you doing what it is He told you to do? Or are you trying to tell Him what it is you want to do? If you're trying to tell God what to do, people, I tell you from experience, with a painful limp, it doesn't work. Jonah got to spend 3 days in a fish. He still didn't learn the lesson in its entirety. Take these examples, these cautionary tales. Say, Lord, you don't have to do that to me. That's fine. I will listen. I will pay attention this time. I will do what it is you are asking me to do. Remember, it's not about achieving the goals and desires that you want. It's the goals and desires that God wants. Jonah did not want the people of Nineveh to get saved. But God did. Jonah didn't want to go there, but God wanted him to. And eventually, God hammered on him long enough till it happened. And he did, and the tool did the task that its master hand set it to. So this morning, are you too a reluctant missionary, as Jonah was? Ask yourself that question. Look at your life, and if you got things that are happening around it, ask yourself that question. Is this why? And if it is why, there's an easy fix. Do as it is the Lord has commanded you. Love Him. Obey Him. There will be blessing there for you. It may not be the one you're looking for, the one you want or desire, but it's what it is that's best for you. And it's what it is that the Lord has for you. So receive it with joy and thanksgiving, and not with a heart of acrimony or ungratefulness. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning and we give you praise. We thank you for the fact that you, Lord, are the one who guides and directs us. Father, help us to see and to understand your direction well enough to obey it. Lord, we pray for that you would reduce within us our tendency to rebel. Lord, reduce within me my propensity to rebel from you and to seek to do what it is I want to do, to seek to do my thing and get things my way. Lord, help me not to be seeking to satisfy myself, but might I instead, and might each of us here, Lord, seek to satisfy you instead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all